Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. I apologize for the delay. Okay, we are in Chovos Halavos, Shaar HaBitachon, the seventh and final chapter, Perek Zayin. In my Lev Tov edition, it's page Shin Ayin Ches. And Chovos Halavos here is concluding the long study on the subject of Bitachon by discussing what are the things to look out for that work against Bitachon. Yesterday we discussed not understanding that Hashem is Chanun V'Rachum, not understanding Hashem's goodness, not understanding that Hashem cares for you intensely, loves you, and is looking out for you. That lack of understanding will be an impediment to Bitachon, because how could you just trust someone if you have no idea whether they have your interests in mind? That's number one. Next. Sorry, that's actually number two. We saw number one the other day. Now we move on. Umehem. It's the middle of the paragraph. Umehem. Other impediments to Bitachon are Sichlusoi ben mitzvah sabayri yisparach. Not appreciating, not realizing Hashem's expectation. Meaning, what he actually says in the Torah, where Hashem does expect you to rely on him and to trust him. Like the Pasuk said, Uvchanuni na bezois. Test me, Hashem says. You can test me. V'omar, and then the pasuk says, "Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad." Trust Hashem forever. The truth is that if you look throughout Tanakh, I believe I heard this said in the name of the Goyim Mivilna, and then if you take a note, you would probably notice that to be so. Not Tanakh, Tehillim. Sorry. You know what, I'm actually not sure. Certainly Tehillim and perhaps all of Tanakh, that the midah that is most stressed as Hashem requesting it of us again and again and again and again is Bitachon. Hashem wants us to trust him. Now I just want to make a comment here. He quoted a pasuk that says, "Ubchanuni nabezois," you can test me. Now, this is tricky. This is tricky because what does test me mean? Let's say 1 month you did not have what you needed to cover the month. Does that never happen? What does it mean, test me? How are you supposed to test? So what? We're told that if in the event that you don't have the money to cover the month, that means that this is in your best interest. But how can you test that? What does it mean to say Ubchanuni Novazois? Now, there are other Pshatim, but the Chovos Halavos is putting this into a very, very broad perspective. Meaning Chazal have a drasha that this is being said, the place can actually bring it. This is being said very specifically about the effect of Maisak Sofim. Let's set that aside for a moment. The Chovos Halavos is portraying it as a general call to be talking. Hashem says, you can test me. So let's understand that it's not as simple as that. And that's why in Chovos Halavos, the Sefer is coming, the Shaar HaBitachon is coming after everything we've learned until now, as we've been discussing. You know, the Shaar HaBitachon is perhaps the most popular Shaar in Chovos Halavos. You'll often hear, let's say, a series of shiurim that will be specifically on Shaar HaBitachon. People want to learn Shaar HaBitachon, even if they're not necessarily learning the whole Sefer. I hear that, I understand it, but it's very, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say the word problematic. It's not for me to judge that, perhaps. But it's definitely lacking in a very, very significant way, because Shaar HaBitachon does not come in a vacuum. We mentioned this yesterday and the day before. Shaar HaBitachon does not come in a vacuum. Shara Bitochen is very, very much building. The whole Sefer Chavos Avos is one stage building off the next. Shara Bitochen is very much building off the discussions that preceded it. And one of them was, and this we have to stress this again, was the need to learn to sense everything that Hashem is doing with you in your life. When the Chavos Avos says, or portrays this pasuk as saying that you can check Hashem, kiviyachol. If a person just approaches it out of the blue and says, "Okay, here, Hashem, I have a test for you. I need $8,000 by the end of this month. Can you get it for me? Let's see how you fare." There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you're going to have that. What is the test? The idea is that if you really study the subject comprehensively, it begins, the testing involves also, look, you want to test Hashem? Look and analyze to see everything that He is doing in your life. Right? It's like this is a common Shalom Bayis pitfall. When, you know, a person will come and, you know, say to his to his wife, "No, I just feel that you really disregard my feelings because you know, there's something that I've told you is important to me, and I just don't see you doing it, right?" And his wife will say to him, "Oh, I disregard your feelings." He tells her, "You know, I like this and this dish. She hasn't made it in a long time. She hasn't made it in a long time." He comes and he tells her, "I feel like you're disregarding my feelings. I told you that I like fried chicken. You haven't made it in a long time." So she tells him, I disregard your feelings. What about the fact that every morning I make a point of specifically packing in your bag a little different something that you like? And what about the fact that I make a point of folding your shirts exactly in the way that you like them? And what about the fact that I this and that I that and that I this and that I that? And he says, oh, he suddenly chaps that was a little not fair. He suddenly feels a little ashamed that, oh right, he was only hyper-focused on when's the last time she made fried chicken. Oh, it wasn't in a while, and he told her that he really likes it. She's disregarding his feelings. He happened not to think into it too much, not to take a broader analysis of all kinds of other areas where she's showing a lot of regard for his feelings. So you want to test Hashem? So start really following, excuse me for saying it this way, study Hashem's performance. Don't just come and say, the test begins and ends with the $8,000 that I'm expecting by the end of this month. That's not called testing. That's not a proper test. A proper test will mean to really study your life properly. And a test, you know, we'll call it more like, it should be more like an audit. Again, excuse the term. You make a comprehensive study of what's actually going on. And Hashem's credentials are there. Hashem's credentials are there. And yes, then your bitachon can be a natural offshoot. And yeah, you can test Hashem if you do it this way. You can test Hashem if you do it properly and comprehensively. You can test Hashem in a way that, yeah, your spouse would consider fair if you're really coming to analyze whether they care for you or not by noting all the different things that are involved. But if you ignore all those and you say, well, here you didn't give me what I wanted, okay, that's called egocentric. That's not called really analyzing. So that's why I'm coming back to the point. I'm saying that's the mistake in isolating Shara Bitochen. Don't approach it in a vacuum. It really has to come against the backdrop of everything that the Chavos Avos has been trying to hammer into us up until this point. So that's the next impediment, but not realizing that Hashem actually expects it of us. The Chavos Avos made this point earlier, and he's repeating it now. It's not just that it makes sense to trust Hashem, but Hashem wants us to. If we come back to the point, the very fundamental point that we learned back in Shavuot Avodah Zarah, is that a lot of what Hashem expects of us is an issue of menschlichkeit. Menschlichkeit, yes, between you and Hashem, to be a mensch. And part of being a mensch is that if someone earned your trust, grant them trust. If someone proved themselves to you again and again and again, they would be able to expect you to rely on them, to trust them in those areas that it's relevant. So this is another important point to understand. It's not just that it makes sense to trust Hashem. It's not just that you can feel secure trusting Hashem, but Hashem actually expects it of you in the context of your relationship with Him. Against the backdrop of everything that He's been doing for you up till now, He has the right to expect you to trust Him. And a person should realize this too. Well, Mayhem, what is another impediment to be talking? If I will say this in a broad way, in a loose way, it means having a superficial perspective. Seeing the immediate here and now, seeing immediate cause and effect. Seeing the immediate cause and effect. You see exactly what you see in front of you. Without realizing, that the closer, he's making a little bit of a complex point. You know what? I want to first see his mashal, and then we'll explain what he's saying. There's cause and effect. The Chazal has taught us earlier that Hashem operates through cause and effect, meaning He wants something to happen, He begins a chain of effects that are going to lead up to it. This can be in a more narrow sense. It can also be in a much broader sense, right? Hashem may decide to make you miss a bus or get somewhere a little bit late, and therefore you meet somebody and you start schmoozing. And this person, you tell him that you're looking for a job, okay? And then he takes your number. And when he's having a schmooze subsequently, he mentions that he met somebody who's looking for this and this job, and he gives over your number to somebody else. And then that person contacts you, ultimately you end up having a job. So Hashem was already waking and work out in the morning when you needed to get out and you thought you really wanted to make that bus. And then you couldn't find your left shoe. So you spent 5 minutes looking for it, and that's why you missed the bus. Very aggravating, right? Yesterday, Hashem made your little kid make off with that shoe. Hashem made your little kid make off with that shoe. Why? Because He wanted you to get this job. He already put a series of effects into place. He sent your little kid on a mission. Make that shoe disappear. Daddy has to miss the bus tomorrow. You got up the next morning. You did not find your shoe on time, therefore you missed the bus. Therefore you met this person who ultimately ended up getting you the job. So Hashem already started a whole series of chain effects geared toward getting you that job. Now this is how Hashem operates. It also is in a more straightforward way. Hashem wants you to have breakfast today. This also is the result of a chain effect. You go to the store. Why do you go to the store? Because you have money. Why do you have money? Because you went to the kaspomat. You went to the ATM machine today. How'd the money get to the ATM machine? Because your boss transferred it there earlier. Why did your boss transfer it there? Because you worked for him for a month. How did you get your job? How did you get that job? Again, this guy with the phone number. But whatever it is, forget the guy with the phone number. Now I just want to talk in a very straightforward way. Hashem grants you food through this whole series of events, right? You work. Your boss pays you. This provides you with money. You then take that money. You go to the store. Then you cook the food. Then you put it on a plate. Then you pick it up with a fork, and then you eat it. This is an example of how Hashem does not just automatically nourish you. He gets you that nourishment through this whole series of effects. Now, where the Kodesh Lavavos is going with this soon is, we'll see this next time, we'll just end with this now, is to say that the superficial person might view the fork as the cause of his food. Ignoring the cooking, ignoring the makole, ignoring the money, ignoring the ATM, and ignoring the job. Okay, we're in mid-sentence, but we'll end here for tonight. Good night, Rabbi Isai, and a guten Shabbos.
Chodesh Tov. Thank you.
Chodesh.